God has been so good to us, amen? So many things to be thankful for. I want to just say one more thing as far as announcements. Be sure to keep an eye on the prayer focus because there's a lot of names on there. Some keep getting added. And just want to ask you to pray for those families and those friends and those hurting. And so I'm not going to refer to it any more than that. I would just say, please keep an eye on it. Lots of prayer needs. And I would also say to those of you that were waiting for the agenda DVDs, they're here. They're on the back table. If you want one of those agenda DVDs, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, you feel free to take one. When you're done viewing both DVDs, bring it back. Let somebody else look at that. There's a whole bunch of them back there. They're there for you to take. Now, before I pray, I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from our superintendent's challenge to us, pastors and churches. We got this on the day of the swearing in of the new president, and so I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs of his two-page letter because some of it fits very, very well with what I'm going to say today, and then we'll pray. Here's what he said. It's important for us to remember today that while it is a blessing to live in a nation with so many freedoms and privileges, that we are first and foremost citizens of a heavenly kingdom seeking another home. With Abraham, he writes, we are looking forward to a city whose foundations and architect and builder is God. Faith is described in Hebrews 11, is living obediently in familiar and foreign lands, in floods, in trial, and whatever and wherever God has planted us. As Joe Biden takes the oath of office, he will pledge to defend the Constitution and the people of the United States. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be people of the Word and servants of our Savior. At the center of our faith is the cross. This was God's response to the brokenness in our world, not to kill, but to die, not to forcibly demand submission, but to wash filthy feet, not to enlist powerful politicians, but to call fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, and even the greatest enemy of the movement, an angry and violent Pharisee named Saul. We must pledge to proclaim God's word and love of all his people. We must ask today what it means to love our neighbor as modeled by Jesus and described by the Good Samaritan parable. We must ask who is most challenging on our list of neighbors to love and how might we reach out to others? What does Jesus call us to do differently? How might we offer freedom, faith, compassion, and welcome to all people groups? May we set the example. May we outpace social interest groups and please our Savior as we respond to the needs and issues around us. This is a time of opportunity to proclaim hope in Christ. This is a time to administer healing, extending grace to all people. This is a time to take first steps of reconciliation and compassion. This is a time to listen first and listen well, then seek to share God's truth. This is a time to pray and seek the heart of God. End quote. Let's pray. Father, thank you. There is hope in Jesus. There is healing in Jesus. There is strength in Jesus. There is eternal life in that great name. This last song that we sung, O God, is so important to us because it is at the name of Jesus. Someday every knee will bow, and it is at the name of Jesus, according to Acts 4 and 12, the only name given among men whereby men must be saved, that name of Jesus. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning. And we ask that you would lead us by your Spirit in not only our services, but in our Sunday school classes and in our children's church and later in our voting for our annual meeting. We ask, Father, by your Spirit, lead us in all of it for the glory of God. And not only us here, Father, but people, your people who are gathering in this city, in this region, in this state, in this nation, all over the world. Father, may your Spirit lead us. May the name of Jesus be lifted up and you, O God, be glorified. We do pray for those on the prayer list. Father, there are many. There are hurts. There are needs. There is loneliness. There is sickness. There are surgeries. There is recovery. There is lostness. Father God, we lift them all up to you and ask, may your will be done. May your will be done in this congregation. May your will be done in this nation. May your will be done in your people. Oh God, I pray. Guide us now as we look at some scripture and are challenged by scripture, as the superintendent has challenged us. The scripture will do the same. To love you with all of our heart, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Guide us, Father, as we are challenged this morning and encouraged, I trust, by your scriptures. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The theme for today, even though in your bulletin the title is other than this, I will get to the title in a minute, in a little while. The theme for today, I saw one of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quotes. It's in and this is his quote: "The church is the church only when it exists for others." Are you still with me? Do you know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is? Maybe I should start there. Some people do, lots don't. Let me be really, really brief then. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor, theologian, and Nazi dissident. Born in 1906, hung by the Gestapo in 1945 at the ripe old age of 39. He wrote a book. I've read the book, and I'm sure many of you have too. Great book. It's called The Cost of Discipleship. It's used today often by many people. It's described as a modern classic. They hung him in Germany. He was 39. But in his short lifetime, he wrote a wonderful book, and he did other things, and he made a lot of good quotes that people use a lot today, and I love this one for today. It's our annual meeting. It's my opportunity to give God praise for what he's done, and to challenge us and to call us to be the people of God for the future, whatever the future looks like. And so I saw this quote a couple of weeks ago, and I said, that's perfect. That's what I need, Lord. Thank you. The church is the church only when it exists for others. You do recognize, we recognize the harvest fields are ripe, do we not, brothers and sisters? The harvest fields, work with me here. Amen? The harvest fields are ripe. The church is not just sitting here for an hour on Sunday morning. This is a building. The church is people of God. People who have committed to Christ, who have been born of the Spirit, led by the Son of God, led by the Spirit of God, to be the hands and feet of God. The church is out there too. It is not just here. This is just a place to charge our batteries, if you will. And I love this quote. The church, this is application for Jim, but it's application for us, whether I'm a pastor or not. The church is the church only when it exists for others. Let me read 1 John 3:18. Little children, we must not love with word or speech, but with truth and action. You still with me, brothers and sisters? You know what John is saying? We can say we love all day long, and if it doesn't translate to action, our love isn't saying much. He said it this way, little children, we must not love with word or speech. He's saying only, and stop there, but with truth and action. some of what Superintendent Carl wrote in his letter. He wrote this, what would that have been, Tuesday? When was the inauguration? Wednesday? Whatever. Whenever. He wrote it that day. And I was already thinking, I already had this topic in mind. I already had that quote in mind. And some of what the superintendent said went along so well with it. Now is the time. Yeah, there's difficulties. But now is the time for the church to be the church like never before, perhaps, in our lives. Now is the time. The church is the church only when it exists for others. God, Jesus, commanded us, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love him with an intentionality that it translates into loving people around us. And you know as well as I do, sometimes them people ain't that lovable. I have not been lovable always either. You know what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? He says to us, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors as yourselves. And John reminds us, what does love look like in truth and action? And then Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, and you know these verses as well as I do, when he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what the Old Testament might have said. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Today, calendar says it's 2021. And we find ourselves in the midst of a pandemic that's got people on edge. Nationwide, worldwide pandemic. Now we're being told there's another wave. We got all these emotions, all these feelings. It's got a multitude of people worrying and in panic. I'm not saying one way, shape, or form it's bad or good. I'm saying that's where we find ourselves. And if that isn't enough, also in the United States of America, we find ourselves in the most bitter and contentious and disjointed election and aftermath that I have ever seen. It would be easy to put our proverbial heads as a church in the sand and say, I hope it all goes away. But that is not what he's called us, the church, to do. It would be easy for us to say, I give up. I'm going to move into the brush someplace and not have anything to do with anybody. It would be easy for us to say that. But I submit to you, brothers and sisters, the harvest fields are ripe, and now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to even be discouraged. We need to be encouraged because God is still on the throne. Christ has still died for our sins. He has still commissioned the church to go and make disciples. Now is the time to be the church in spite of all the other stuff around us. Now, part of what I want to do today is I want to broaden our thinking. I want us to think outside the box, if you will. As a church, how can God use me this year? I'm just going to throw some things out there. You listen with an open mind. I'm just going to lay these out there. Words or phrases. You just listen and ask God, speak to my spirit, Lord. COVID-19 and cancer, very real in our communities. Drug addictions and divorce. Financial ruin and runaway children. Abortion that has taken the lives of 60 million babies in the womb. Widows and orphans. Foster care children begging to be adopted and to be loved. Hungry and abused children and women alike. I mentioned this already, but addictions that are literally killing multitudes, destroying families, destroying marriages, and all kinds of things. Homelessness. Pornography that is literally killing children, destroying marriages, and ruining us as a nation. I'll say one more thing about that. I did a little research on a lot of these things because I like facts. And I Googled this fact. How much is spent on pornography, dollar-wise? Because I know there's so much of it's free, you don't have to spend it. And the figure that I found was, you can write this down and Google it yourself if you want, $3,075.64 per second. Per second. That translates to hundreds of millions a day. Okay, I just throw that out to you because these things I'm talking about are real. And I'm saying this morning, the church is a church only when we exist for others. And I list these things, and there's more. I mean, there's a whole pedophile debate going on. I've mentioned that. And demon possession and demonization and the occult looming all around us. Maybe that's why my blood pressure is so high these days. The spiritual war that we find ourselves in. And you might say, Jim, what in the world has this got to do with anything? How does this have anything to do with what you said? I'm saying to us again, brothers and sisters, the church is a church only when we exist for other people. We can come together like a club and do our own thing in the four walls of the church, and we can go home and call it a week. My church thing is done. That's not the church. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Yes, coming together to worship is wonderful, is good. It is commanded. Let us not forsake the assembling together of the saints. We need to do that. But the church needs to exist outside the walls for these people. Widows and orphans and COVID and cancer and dying folks and divorcing folks and people that have lost loved ones. The church needs to exist for these people. Not just to come and sit in comfortable chairs and have the heat just right, but we exist for the glory of God and the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's why we exist. I ask the board from time to time, why do we exist? Why do we exist in Motley? It's not just to come and sit on Sunday mornings, although I love that, but to love our neighbors, to love our enemies, to do good to those who have hurt us, to bless those that have persecuted us, to pray for those that have despitefully used us. That's why we exist. And when Bonhoeffer said, we exist when we exist for others, it's what Jesus said. It's what Paul said. It's what John said when the first scripture I read from 1 John 3:18. Why do we exist? Right here in this community, in this region, I maintain it's to love these people. Point people to the cross to make disciples. That's why we exist. I was talking to a fellow pastor earlier this week, and we both agreed, he happens to be retired, but still being used of God, we both agreed there's work to do. Not just for pastors. There's work for the church. According to Jesus, we exist to love. And how do we love? John said we love in action. I love that story in John 4, 35. In John 4, and the verse I'm going to get to is 4:35. Jesus is sitting with the woman at the well. You remember the story, friends? Nobody? I don't have to go there today, too, do I? Jesus is sitting at the well with the woman. And first of all, it's a Samaritan woman and it's a Jewish man. They shouldn't even be having conversation. So that's the first anomaly. And you know the story. The disciples get back. The disciples are thinking, boy, this picture doesn't look right here. And they brought back food, of course. At this point, the woman goos back. She wants to tell the folks back in Sychar all the things that he has told me. And she says, could this be the Messiah? And they're dialoguing with him. Eat something, Jesus. You got to eat. And in their minds, they've got this mind, but I'm not even sure why he's talking to her. But he recognized the harvest. And he said to them in verse 35 of John 4, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? In other words, in that setting, we know that the time to plant is such and such, the time to harvest is such and such, the spring's rains will come, the fall rains will come, so we'll get this harvest. And he says, do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But he says to them, because he's outside the box here talking to the woman at the well, okay? He's outside the proverbial Jewish Pharisaical religious box. He's talking to the woman at the well who's had a whole bunch of husbands and living with a dude now that ain't her husband. He's thinking outside the religious Jewish box. And he says, do you not say that the harvest should be then? And then he reminds him as he's thinking outside of the box, I say to you, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look, because the harvest fields are already ripe for harvest. And that's the condition we are in today, people of God. The harvest fields out there are ripe for harvest, and we, the people of God, need to be used by the Son of God, by God the Father, by the Spirit of God, and we need to be His hands and feet in this ripe harvest. Time is running out. We've been talking about the second advent, the rapture, and people, you know what? We can die in an instant. I got a phone call, I got a text from a good friend of mine, knew her in high school, worked with her at the plant for years, on Tuesday. She said, Jim, pray for me. I got some surgery coming up. I don't like doctors. I don't like surgery. I said, I will. I will pray for you right now. She said, thank you. Oh, and FYI, I told my kids, something goes wrong, get Jim to do the eulogy. That was on Tuesday. 6 days later, she's dead. I did the funeral yesterday. So lest we think we got a mountain of time ahead of us, or the Lord, He ain't coming back for a while because it ain't lined up yet, or I got a lot to live for yet, and it doesn't necessarily include Jesus yet. Lest we think we got all kinds of time outside of Christ, I want to say to us today, friends, you better get right with Jesus today. If you haven't got there, if it's a head knowledge only, you've got to surrender. You've got to repent of sin. You've got to claim Christ as Lord, deny yourself, and live for Jesus, or it's going to be too late. Jesus is saying to us today, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, brothers and sisters of Motley Free Methodist Church, and anybody else that's listening, or if you're visiting today, lift up your eyes and look around. The fields are ripe. And God has left us here for a reason. We have been commanded to love our neighbors. We have been commissioned by God, Matthew 25, 19 and 20. Go and make disciples. We are not commissioned to just worship on Sundays, although I love that. We are commissioned to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a place, in an atmosphere, in a nation today that is so ripe. The fruit is falling off the vine ripe. And we are to be His hands and feet every day. Not, well, I got to go to church and be to church. Today, out there. Tomorrow, out there. The next day, out there. That's what He's called us to do. That's why I love that quote of Bonhoeffer's. The church is a church only when it exists for others. We exist to be used of God in the harvest fields. That's Monday through Saturday. I'm going to move on because time is moving on. I want to just make some suggestions of ministry opportunities. I got a lot more. I'm not going to get through it all. I can see that. But I just want us to think, how can God use me? First of all, you need to know Jesus Christ as Lord. You need to surrender to Him completely. We need to step out of the darkness into the light, okay? If we're going to still walk in darkness, God isn't going to use us. We're not even ready. We're not even part of the kingdom. We've got to step out of the darkness of the world into the light of Jesus. We've got to be born again, Jesus said. We've got to believe in our heart, Romans said, and confess with our mouth. Okay, and when we've done that, God wants to use you because He's going to give you a gift. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talk about that. He's going to give you a Holy Spirit gift. That gift is to be used for Him, for His glory, in the harvest fields. And so may I suggest some ministry opportunities for us right here, right now, this year, 2021, if we'd be willing and we would be available to be used by God in this desperate time in America. I think there's so much that could be done. Loving intentionally those who are suffering. It doesn't, there's so much suffering. It could be COVID, it could be cancer, it could be divorce, it could be financial ruin, it could be loss of their house. You say, Jim, how am I supposed to know? We start with the prayer list. It's got a multitude of people on it. They would love to hear from people. A while ago, we had an expert here on child trafficking and sex slavery. You say, Jim, what can I do about that? Did you know there's a home being built in Brainerd right now for women that have been trafficked? Did you know that? Not too many. There is. Did you know that St. Cloud is the worst place in this entire state for trafficking young women? 63 miles away. There's things that the church can do. Post-abortive women who need to be cared for and loved. There are people in our midst that are, I would say, experts in this field. They've been there to help these people already, and perhaps you could inquire. They've worked with LAPS. They've worked with Healing Hearts Ministries. I've spoken to some myself, and these people need to be loved. Widow Ministries, adoption and foster care. We have some experts in that field here right amongst us too. They know what it's like to adopt and foster care. Did you know there's hundreds of thousands of kids waiting in America to be adopted right now? Longing to be loved. Longing to call someplace home. Or prison and jail ministry. We have people amongst us that can tell you a lot more about that and be involved in that. And I know what you're thinking. They're in jail. They don't need me to minister to them. They're people for whom Jesus died. Amen, Dale? They're people for whom Jesus died. Yeah, they're in jail right now. They still need Jesus. Or visiting the elderly and the shut-ins, writing them a note, sending them a little postcard, anything. Or Celebrate Recover, I've wanted to get that going for so long. Or volunteering right here at our Lakes Area Pregnancy Support, or our Minnesota Teen Challenge as a mentor, or in everyday living. In everyday living, listen to me now, pointing people to Jesus. In everyday living, pointing people to the cross and to Christ. That's why the church exists. And I know what some people are thinking right now. I know you're thinking it because I've heard it. I didn't hear it this morning, but I've heard it. You're thinking that's what we pay you two to do. Which is true. But I would just say this. Could you imagine what dozens of passionate warriors for Jesus could do rather than one or two? Could you imagine what people led by the Holy Spirit on a Monday through Friday work week could do in pointing people to Christ and praying for people's needs and seeing someone hurting and come alongside them. Could you imagine what that multitude for Jesus could do rather than just one or two preachers? That's what he's called us to do. The church exists for the people out there. Charles and I are going to do all we can in all of this. But can you imagine what an equipped and passionate group of Jesus followers can do in everyday living out there? Oh, what a beautiful sight it would be. Loving our neighbors. Loving our enemies. Praying for those that have persecuted us. The mission of the Free Methodist Church is really quite simple. You've seen it in your bulletins week after week. Is to love God and people and to make disciples. Biblically speaking, that's what we're to do. That's not even a denominational thing. That's what we're just supposed to do. I mentioned that already, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, 19 and 20 most specifically. That's just what we're supposed to be doing. Making disciples that will be so in love with the Lord, somewhat well-versed enough in the Word of God, that they in turn can make disciples of the next person or two they encounter. Go and make disciples, he said, teaching them to observe these things that I've told you about. Baptize them. That's what he's told us to do. And that's what I challenge us to be all about in 2021, in spite of all the difficulty around us. The work of God needs to be intentional. It's not going to do itself. It needs to be us, intentional about loving our neighbors and telling people about Jesus and pointing people to the cross. I got to hurry up. I got to wrap up because time's wrapping up. Let me just say this about this last year. It's been different. Shut down church for how long? Then we shut it down again because of COVID running rampant through our communities. We've been restricted, but God has been at work. People have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus this year, right here. We've baptized people. We've helped instruct people. We're making up disciples. We're trying to turn out disciples because we love them and God loves us and he told us that's what you're supposed to do. We got a lot of people in Bible study groups learning. God has been at work in spite of the difficulties we have found ourselves in. Amen? Amen. God has been at work. And God will continue to be at work as we pray and seek his face and say, I'm available to you, O God. Use me how you want to, where you want to. It could be in the workplace. It could be in our homes. It could be in the church. But God has work for us to do. And so I praise God for what's gone on this year in spite of all the restrictions. I want to say just a couple of more things before I wrap it up. In the back, in the table below the TV in the foyer, there'll be a couple of handouts. We want you to be sure they're available for you if you want them. One is just a very simple little document. It's a record of last year's annual meeting. Very simple little secretary's report, but it's available to you if you want it. The other thing that is there is a financial report from 2020. It shows how much money came in, and in spite of not being here, in spite of 40% of our people not being here for 10 months, God has blessed us. Amen? God has blessed us. You may not know that, but I know that. I give God praise and glory for that. Let me give you one example, because this will be on that sheet. But in 2020, because of your generosity and the people that are watching and send in their checks, thank you. And those of you that drop off your tithes and offerings, because of all that, some churches, you know, in other places, they were struggling to pay the light bill. That's a fact. We know that because we're involved in helping some of that. But God blessed us to the point in 2020 that 27.5% of what we took in was used to help others. You say, well, Jim, that's not that much. Well, it's nearly 30% of the entire budget went to help others. Locally, around here, regionally, and the world. That translates to $95,000. I give God praise for that. That may be helping a few widows. It may be helping another church put the roof on. It may be feeding people in Pakistan. It may be feeding people in Kenya. We helped specifically for those ministries when the pandemic hit. It may be telling people about the good news of Jesus in Costa Rica. It may be helping Teen Challenge, LAP, Christian Radio, or a bunch of things around here. But I want you to know we're trying to be good stewards of what you give. We're trying to minister to others. We're trying to minister to the least of these. That's in the document. I want to tell you that in case you don't want to read it. I just want to say praise God. Praise God for his mercy. The church is the church only when it exists for others. I think he's right. Because it just happens to line up with what Jesus said too. And we're going to continue to teach children and adults alike. We're going to continue to do what we can as God has called us this next year. In spite of the difficulties, I've told you this the last couple of weeks, I think there will be challenges in the future for Jesus' followers in America. I think there's going to be challenges for the church. That doesn't mean we cease to exist as the church. Bonhoeffer never ceased to exist. The church in China today that's pretty much gone underground has not ceased to exist. They are still calling people to repentance and to Christ, and the church is thriving in communist China. Oh, the officials don't like to hear that, but it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we may encounter some difficulties as believers. If we're going to take a stand for Jesus, we may encounter some difficulties. We may encounter some pushback. We still need to be the church. Let's sing this last song. Friends, if you're listening today online, or you're here today, and you're not sure, if I died today, am I going to be with Jesus tomorrow? If you're not sure, friends, I want you to be real sure about that. Eternity is a long time. And once the Lord returns, once we or we die, you don't get to vote. You don't get to decide about Jesus if your time runs out like my buddies. She had 6 days. If you're not sure where you're going to be tomorrow, I want you to come forward today while we're singing the song and pray with Charles or myself. Or pray yourself. Come to the altar. You can come to the altar for any reason, any time, and pray. But if you're not sure about your eternal destination, there's nothing more important than getting right with Jesus. Eternity depends on what you do and I do with Jesus.
Loving Father, we praise you and thank you for the ministry in which you have called us. Thank you for the gifts, the talents, the personality, the abilities that you give us for specific ministries and for special ways of engaging others. As we go forth this week, that first verse of this song that we've sung, help us to empty ourselves of all but love and to engage the world with meaningful and intense conversations. Help us to bring you your grace and your mercy and forgiveness into the conversations we have while we're about doing life this week. It help us to engage. Give us courage and boldness to intervene and to come into the lives of others. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.